All right, deep divers, buckle up, because today we're diving headfirst into the world of software development security.
Sounds exciting.
You want to know how to trust the software you use every single day, right?
Absolutely.
Well, thankfully, you handed us this fascinating document called
Let's hear it.
001 Christy Domain 8 Intro in Section 1.pdf.
Okay.
And it's all about managing risk and security within software development.
Yep.
And trust me, this isn't just some boring theory, okay?
All right.
This is about making sure that the apps on your phone, the websites you visit, and the systems that run our world are actually well secure.
You hit the nail on the head. What's key here is understanding that security, it can't be an afterthought. It's
right.
Not like adding a sprinkle of pepper at the end of cooking a dish, you know?
Yeah.
It needs to be baked into every single step of how that software is made.
Otherwise, you risk ending up with a digital disaster.
Exactly. A weak foundation can bring down an entire building, and software is no different. Insecure code can lead to data breaches, system failures, and in a world that's increasingly reliant on technology, those consequences can be massive.
Okay, so how do we prevent that?
Yeah.
This document mentions a software development life cycle.
Right.
What does that even mean?
It's basically the roadmap for building software, but forget about a straight line from start to finish. It's more like a continuous loop, constantly evolving and adapting as you go.
So it's less like building a house and it's more like tending a garden.
Okay.
Things are always growing and changing.
I like that analogy. And speaking of adapting, that's where agile methodology comes in.
Oh.
Huge player in the software development world, and for good reason.
Yeah. I've definitely heard of agile, but what makes it so special?
Well, it emphasizes flexibility and collaboration.
Okay.
So instead of these rigid plans, you work in these short cycles, you get feedback and you adjust quickly.
Gotcha.
Think of it as constantly checking in, making sure you're still on the right track, and making adjustments as you go, which is super important for security.
Because if you're checking for security issues constantly, you're more likely to catch them early on.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is that Agile isn't this new idea.
Right.
The Agile Manifesto, which really shaped this approach, actually came out in 2001.
Wow.
It's amazing how relevant those principles still are today.
2001. That's older than some of the software we're talking about.
It's true.
So the manifesto stresses valuing people over rigid processes.
Yeah.
How does that play into building secure software?
It's all about creating an environment where teams can adapt, communicate openly, and prioritize quality.
Okay.
When you empower individuals to flag potential issues, including security vulnerabilities, you create a much stronger safety net.
So it's like having more eyes on the prize, or more like eyes on the code, you know, ready to catch those bugs early on.
Precisely. And your source document dives into several other development methodologies too, each with its own approach to incorporating security.
All right, well, let's unpack them. What else is out there besides Agile?
Well, you've got frameworks like Scrum and SAFe, which build upon Agile principles.
Okay.
They provide more structure, which is especially valuable in large and complex projects. Think of the types of software challenges we're facing in 2024.
Ah, so that's why they pop up in the 2024 syllabus. But I'm guessing there are other approaches that are maybe less flexible.
Definitely. You have methodologies like Waterfall, which takes a more linear approach.
Waterfall. Okay.
You complete one phase of development, then move on to the next, like a cascade.
Okay.
However, this rigidity can be a bit of a challenge when it comes to incorporating changes, which, as you can imagine, can have implications for security.
It's like trying to change the recipe while the cake is already baking, right?
Yeah.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
But definitely trickier.
Exactly. And then there's the spiral model.
Okay.
Which tries to bridge the gap between Agile and Waterfall.
Okay.
So it incorporates those iterative cycles like Agile, but with a stronger emphasis on risk management at each stage.
So it's like taking a more cautious, measured approach, spiraling outwards instead of just rushing down the waterfall.
A great way to put it.
Yep.
And each of these methodologies with their unique structures and approaches directly impacts how security is woven into the fabric of that development process.
Okay.
But there's another layer to this whole software development landscape that we need to explore.
Oh, do tell. What else is there? We got to know.
Well, in today's fast-paced world, it's not enough to just build software securely.
Right.
We also need to deliver it quickly and efficiently.
Time is money, as they say.
Precisely. And that's where DevOps comes in.
DevOps.
Yeah. It's all about breaking down the silos between development and operations teams to streamline that software delivery process.
So instead of two separate teams working in isolation,
right,
it's more about collaboration and integration.
You got it. DevOps is like a well-oiled machine where everyone is working together towards a common goal.
I like it.
getting high-quality software into the hands of users as quickly and smoothly as possible.
But with speed, doesn't the risk of overlooking security issues increase?
That's a great point, and that's exactly why DevSecOps emerged.
DevSecOps.
Think of it as DevOps, but with security hardwired into its DNA.
DevSecOps, tell me more, because we can't be sacrificing security for speed.
Absolutely not. DevSecOps is about embedding those security checks throughout the entire development pipeline.
Okay.
Not just at the end.
Gotcha.
Remember that continuous loop we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
DevSecOps makes sure security is a constant part of that loop.
So instead of bolting security on as an afterthought,
right,
it's integrated from the get-go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the key concepts here is something called software-defined security.
Okay.
Basically, it's about automating those security processes and controls.
Okay.
Integrating them into the CI/CD pipeline.
What's that?
That's continuous integration and continuous delivery, the backbone of DevOps.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So break that down for me. How does incorporating security into this pipeline actually work?
Imagine a pipeline with a series of checkpoints. At each checkpoint, automated tests and checks are run to catch any security flaws or vulnerabilities.
Okay.
If a problem is detected, the process halts and the issue is flagged for immediate attention.
So it's like having a super efficient security guard.
Yes.
At every stage of the development process.
Exactly.
Making sure nothing slips through the cracks.
Exactly. And this continuous monitoring and feedback loop is essential in a DevOps environment where releases happen frequently and rapidly.
Right. This is all fascinating stuff, but it sounds like a lot to manage.
It is.
How can organizations ensure they're actually doing a good job with security? Like, how do they measure that?
That's where the concept of maturity models comes in handy.
Maturity models, okay.
Think of them as benchmarks to assess how well an organization develops software, particularly from a security perspective.
Like a report card for software development security.
You could say that. Your document specifically mentions two important ones. The capability maturity model, or CM.
Okay.
And the software assurance maturity model, or SAM.
CM.
And
SAM. Okay, so what's the difference between the two? They both sound pretty official.
They are. CMM takes a broader view.
Okay.
It focuses on the maturity of software development processes in general.
Okay.
Think of it as a measure of how well an organization defines, manages, and improves its processes across the board.
And I'm guessing a higher level of maturity translates to a more secure development environment.
Absolutely. CMM has five maturity levels.
Okay.
Ranging from initial, where processes are ad hoc and unpredictable.
Makes sense.
To optimizing, yeah, where continuous improvement and proactive risk management are embedded in the culture.
Right.
Higher maturity levels generally indicate a stronger security posture.
Makes sense. So where does SAM fit in?
SAM zooms in specifically on security aspects within those processes.
Okay.
It provides a framework for organizations to analyze their security practices.
Gotcha.
Identify areas for improvement and measure their progress over time.
So it's like a specialized tool for strengthening the security aspect of software development.
Exactly. SAM goes beyond just identifying vulnerabilities.
Right.
It helps organizations understand why those vulnerabilities exist in the first place.
Oh, wow.
And provides guidance on building more secure software from the ground up.
That's incredibly valuable. It's one thing to patch a hole, but even better to understand how to prevent it in the first place.
Couldn't agree more. SAM outlines five core business functions.
Right, okay.
Related to building secure software.
Okay.
Governance, design, implementation, verification, and operations.
Gotcha.
Each function has different maturity levels.
Okay.
Allowing organizations to pinpoint their strengths and weaknesses.
It's like a roadmap to guide organizations on their journey to building more secure software.
Precisely.
Okay.
And there's another model mentioned in this document, the ideal model.
Ideal.
It might sound a bit idealistic.
I was just thinking that.
But it emphasizes a crucial point. Building secure software is a continuous journey of improvement, not a destination.
Right.
You never really arrive.
Yeah.
You're always striving to do better.
Continuous improvement.
Exactly. And this model highlights five phases: initiating, diagnosing, establishing, acting, and learning.
So it's about constantly assessing, adapting, and evolving your security practices.
You got it. It encourages a culture of learning and improvement, which is essential in the ever-evolving world of software development.
So it sounds like building secure software is a never-ending process of learning and adapting.
You're absolutely right. And it's not just about the code itself.
Oh. What else is there? I thought we covered all the bases.
Well, we talked about development methodologies, maturity models, and integrating security into that DevOps process.
Right.
But what happens after the software is released into the wild?
That's a good point. You can't just like set it and forget it, can you?
Exactly. Even the most securely built software needs ongoing maintenance and updates.
Okay.
Think about all the software updates you get on your phone and computer.
Right.
Those often include security patches that address newly discovered vulnerabilities.
So it's like an ongoing battle.
It is.
Against emerging threats and vulnerability.
Precisely. And that's why operations and maintenance are so critical in the world of software development security.
Okay.
Teams need to constantly monitor systems for suspicious activity, apply patches promptly, and adapt to changing threat landscapes.
And I'm guessing that's not a one-person job.
You're right. It requires a coordinated effort,
right,
often involving security analysts, system administrators, and even the original developers coming back in to help.
Wow. It really highlights how building secure software is a team sport.
It is.
Speaking of teams, this document also mentions something called integrated product teams, or IPTs.
Yeah.
What are those all about?
Ah, yes. IPTs are fascinating.
Huh?
The concept actually originated from the Department of Defense back in the 90s.
Wow.
Imagine trying to build a fighter jet.
Okay.
But you've got separate teams for design, engineering, weaponry, and avionics.
Right.
Each working in their own little silo.
Okay.
It wouldn't be very efficient or effective, would it?
That sounds like a recipe for disaster. Or at least a very wonky airplane.
Exactly. So the idea behind IPTs is to bring together experts from different disciplines.
So,
design, development, security, testing, you name it.
Right.
To work together from the very beginning of a project.
So instead of everyone operating in those little bubbles, it's about breaking down those walls and fostering that collaboration.
Precisely. And this cross-functional approach is especially crucial for security.
Okay.
Because it ensures that security considerations are woven into the fabric of the software from day one, not as an afterthought.
So it's like having a security expert,
yes,
at every step of that design and development process.
Exactly.
Offering insights and catching potential issues early on.
Exactly. And with IPTs, decisions are made collectively,
yeah,
considering all of the potential ramifications.
Right.
This parallel decision-making process leads to more well-rounded and secure solutions.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much ground today.
We have.
From Agile and Waterfall to DevOps and DevSecOps. From maturity models to the importance of ongoing maintenance and the power of these integrated teams.
It's a lot.
It's clear that building secure software is a multifaceted challenge.
It certainly is. But as our reliance on software grows, it's a challenge we absolutely have to get right.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So as a final thought for our listeners, I want to leave you with this. With software touching nearly every aspect of our lives, how can we each contribute to a more secure digital world?
That's a big question.
What choices can we make as individuals and as organizations to really prioritize security in the software we use and create?
That's a powerful question, and one that I hope our listeners will continue to explore long after this deep dive.
Until next time, deep divers, stay curious and stay secure.